Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Look good, feel good, play good. And that's exactly what we're going with around here, because a wise man also said, I heard it pays good that way. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamoke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we got an awesome group coming up today. We are only with you for 2 hours today as college basketball season getting close to the finish now. We got the conference tournaments all going on here. And so we're going to take you up to 6 o'clock Eastern here on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. And we got Jhené back over here out conquering the world. Yesterday, I saw the first take. Her takeover went on to the TV side today and first take today. So how are we feeling, champ?
Your girl is tired. I'm not going to lie. I want to shout out our producer, Shannon, who after this morning knew that I was up at 4:30 to make first take production call. He's like, you good? I was like, I got you, family. You know what I've got? I've got my caramel macchiato, baby. That's what's going to power me through these next 2 hours. And obviously seeing your lovely face.
See, that's what we call take juice right there. That is a performance enhancer in this industry right
there
now. So Jhené Egbuamoke is good to go. Yeah, this is not on the banned substance list. These are legal. They give it out right here at headquarters in Bristol. I can go get coffee right over there. And that's good because while Jhené has been up all day working, giving you guys great stuff on first take during the day, probably seen her on the jump as well. We do have official business of hers to attend to. Jhené's starting five, which has become a staple around here in the back half of hoop season. We're going to give you everything you need to look forward to as we get started. Tip off tonight on the second half of the NBA season, or tip off tomorrow night, I believe, on that.
I think it's today.
I think it is today.
I'm checking really fast.
Time is a flat circle right now. We're still in quarantine time.
Today, we've got the Wizards and Grizzlies, Spurs and Mavericks. Okay, tip off tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, it's today.
Either way, Jhené will give you the five things you need to look forward to going into the second half of the season in about 10 minutes. But Jhené, on the complete other side of NBA business right now, as the league is getting ready, coming off of All-Star Night, coming off of that celebration of the game that they were looking forward to so much. Instead, now they have to deal with something completely opposite. And it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, as Myers Leonard, backup big man for the Miami Heat, is away from the team indefinitely right now while the NBA probes his use of an anti-Semitic slur while he was streaming, playing video games the other day. He came out, Jhené, with a long apology on social media, in part saying that he didn't know what that word meant. And in addition to a lot of the usual things we see in apologies, talking about seeking out help and things like that, he apologized to the family of the Miami Heat, Mickey Arison, the family of the Miami Heat ownership there, as well as fans, his teammates, and the Jewish community. So, Jhené, when you saw the comments he made and the apology, what was your initial reaction? What did you make of this?
I was taken aback because, one, I was handling business in another regard yesterday, so I wasn't able to be with you guys. And so I saw this story trend and I tried to figure out, I was like, okay, what's going on here? And I read his comments and I couldn't even fathom, because I had to be introduced to the word, unfortunately, right? And I think, you know, we all know that hate speech has zero tolerance, not just in the workplace, but just in society, period. The way we are sort of moving, Junior, like if I say something out of line, I hope you hold me accountable. Same thing for you, you know, whether it is public or private, especially when it comes to hate speech, which obviously that's not the energy we keep personally. But just saying that this is one of those things in our culture that we are checking each other on. And so for this regard to really hear what he had said on his own time and on his own dime when it came to his live stream, and to just casually say it sort of, you know, in a way that maybe he didn't know, which is what he claims, what he was saying. He's still the vitriol behind the use of those words, you know, coupled with, you know, another word that could have been construed as sexist. It sort of floored me, because this is someone that has used his platform to advocate for what he wants and basically his point of view, you know, supporting the military and standing during the anthem at a time where we all sort of had a microscope under that. And so, you know, he came forward with this type of ideals, and to see on his own personal time, this is something that just, like, we were introduced to, it felt like another person, and that person did offend a large group of people, you know, the Jewish community in specifics. I love what Julian Edelman said. You know, he responded as a Jewish athlete. He responded in an open letter to Myers Leonard, which, mind you, by the way, a lot of times when these situations go down, it's on the burdened community, the one that has dealt with what people had said in a negative way, right? To go on their own emotion and capability to go and educate and mend the fences. And that is taxing for a lot of people. You know, I've realized this as a Black woman, right? The last few months having to constantly, you know, talk about my perspective. And this is something that, you know, Julian Edelman over the last year, because there were some comments even that were anti-Semitic raised by other athletes over this last year that he stepped up and said things. And so when I read you this, he wrote an open letter to Myers Leonard saying, "So we've never met. I hope we can one day soon." First of all, that was a nice olive branch, right? "I'm sure you've been getting a lot of criticism for what you said, not trying to add to that. I just want to offer some perspective. I get the sense that you didn't use the word out of hate, more out of ignorance. Most likely you weren't you trying to hurt anyone or even profile Jews in your comment. That's what makes it so destructive, though. When someone intends to be hateful, it's usually met with great resistance. Casual ignorance is harder to combat and has greater reach." Again, casual ignorance, right? Especially when you command great influence, meaning the platform of an NBA player. "Hate is like a virus. Even accidentally, it can spread rapidly. I'm down in Miami fairly often. Let's do a Shabbat dinner with some friends. I'll show you a fun time. J.E. That was such a classy response, and I think it encapsulated everything. Even if he didn't intend to say something negative or rude or offensive, it happened, and you have to be held accountable for what you say, especially when you're live streaming. But more importantly, I think it's about our heart and temperament when you're in private too. And Julian did an excellent job of not only, you know, extending a hand and saying, I can help you through this, but more importantly, highlighting the fact that these things, even if it's not what you intended to do, they have consequences, and those are the hardest to regulate. And lastly, Junior, and I only say this because I've been talking about this on three different shows, I expect the Miami Heat to, you know, I like what they did with the indefinite leave. Myers Leonard has already been out for the season due to his shoulder surgery. And so the indefinite leave allows him time to sort of reset, recalibrate, and go through with acts of contrition to all parties involved, including possibly the owner and CEO of the Miami Heat, who are Jewish, and sort of not just post something, but go through and say, hey, I'm sorry, and I'm willing to educate myself with that time away. And I also believe probably around a $50,000 fine is probably coming as well.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiné Agwumike. Chiné, I think he did mean to be disparaging with it. You look at the context of where he said it, he can claim ignorance of not knowing what the word is. And I give Bomani Jones credit for this, raising this question on Highly Questionable earlier today. What did he think it meant? Because he used it in a context in a spot that seemed to know it was something negative. He was frustrated in that spot. And as you mentioned, he used a number of other words, a number of other curses in that spot to show that he was frustrated there and angry with the situation, and took a big, deep breath right before that and seemed to be ready to let out whatever his frustrations were with a word that he felt contextually in that spot applied. And so I think that's an appropriate question to ask him is, what did you think it meant in that spot? Because Julian Edelman responding with grace is fantastic. But, Chiné, you and I have both seen this time and time again. What are these apologies end up really being about? Getting away from the situation, not getting better from the situation.
Image.
It is, yeah. Can I protect my image enough to keep my job on the other side of this? And listen, Myers Leonard's a borderline player right now. And so if the Miami Heat decide to be done with him, he's earned that right. If the NBA decides to be done with him, that's an easy decision because he's not that good of a player in this spot. But I look in these instances, and to me, you mentioned the burden always seems to be on the group of people that have been offended in this spot. The burden got to start getting flipped around more the other way to say, if Myers Leonard really wants us to give him any of this grace, you got to show on the other side, because history is littered, unfortunately, with too few examples of people actually willing to do the work on the other side of these things, and far too many examples of people that just want to say the things they feel like they need to, check the boxes in the apology, and then get on living.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I, you know me, like, I'm always trying to think of, all right, like, this is what you claim to be, and I will try to hopefully, as someone that tries to be glass half full, take you for that. But I think, you know, when in these times, when we see you relaxing and letting your guard down and just casually saying things, mind you, like you said, Junior, with a large pause and then intentional with what you said, we sort of take note as well. So, like, we're taking note. We're also going to, you know, this is not about cancel culture. It's about council culture as well. We'll see if his actions follow up with his intent of showing regret.
Exactly, because no one's saying Myers Leonard should never be allowed to do anything again and he should be some societal reject. It's quite literally just putting the bar low enough to say, actually show us you're sorry on the other side of this and don't just give us some half-hearted apology posted on your Instagram feed. Those are what these things come down to. And so we'll wait to see. Like you said, because he's off the court for them right now, everyone involved has a chance to stop and kind of assess this at a slower pace than we would probably demand if he were someone that was on the court still for them, healthy and playing right now. Now, college basketball's in the home stretch. Tune in tonight for the ACC tournament. Coverage, again, begins at 6 p.m. Eastern right here on ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app will take you all the way up to that coverage here on Chenea and Golic Jr. But coming up next, let's get back to the on-court action in the NBA. Tip-off tonight for the second half of the season. Our NBA analyst, Chenea Igwumike, is going to let you know everything you need to look forward to next here on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Whenever it comes to the money, we always love asking one question in particular. Who's next? Dak Prescott's at his press conference today, getting announced as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback after signing a long-term deal. So who comes up next? We have three quarterbacks to look at from the class of 2018. What's the biggest thing preventing them from getting one of those early paydays? Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chenea Igwumike. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. Chenea, we have news that we've been talking about this week surrounding Les Miles in Kansas. He was let go earlier this week. Kansas just reportedly about a half hour ago announced that they were also parting ways with athletic director Jeff Long after all that news we had seen. And Chenea, to me, that felt inevitable from the time this news came out that the man who hired Les Miles amidst this cloud of uncertainty might not be the one who should be picking the next coach at this place.
Exactly.
Either.
No question about it. I did not think that that was out of the realm of possibility, of course, you know, when it comes to Les Miles, but also trickling up to the AD as well.
So a lot of questions we can ask, and hopefully we'll get answered there coming up in a little bit. But the second half of the NBA season tips off tonight. We have an ESPN NBA analyst in our midst each and every day in Chenea Igwumike. And so in honor of that, we want to make sure that you're prepared walking into the back half of the season. You've got the knowledge and the things to look for that you need. And so we are proud to present Chenea Igwumike's starting five things to look forward to in the second half. We got to get you the information you need about the NBA.
Sorry, I was all the way deep
into my bag.
Chenea, thankfully, is the one that's going to give you accurate information.
These teams are hot. Heat is on the stove hot.
We want to make sure you know all of the important things going on, and we do that by giving you
Chenea's starting five.
All right, here we go, number five. Let's go! My starting five, NBA second half of the season. I'm so excited for this. Most importantly, the theme of this starting five is keep that same energy, a Chenea and Golic Jr. staple. Keep that same energy from the first half, now to the second. Number five.
Number five.
Oh, that was a very elevated, classy number five. Number five, keep an eye on the players that are catching fire. I'm talking about Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yes, I said Giannis Antetokounmpo. Steph Curry, this is the first time since 2014 that there wasn't more than one Warrior named an All-Star. But, you know, Steph is the guy who started it all with his All-Star in 2013. For being the only All-Star for the Warriors, what is he giving you? 29 points per game, 5 rebounds, and he could have an MVP, you know, dark horse, late case MVP conversation type of with how he's played, especially when it comes to the three-point contest. That momentum is crazy. I want to shout out Damian Lillard because when we looked at that three-point contest and how they went from, what was it, like not logo threes, but half-court threes, it's crazy. Dame Dollar, just he's one of the hottest players in the NBA with how he shoots the ball. He's rivaling Steph Curry. I think he's second at 34% behind threes, you know, from 30 feet or beyond, which is absolutely nuts. And last, I want to give love to Giannis Antetokounmpo because he had a great performance in the All-Star game. And it seems like he's really strung it together. The last few games, four games before the break, he's averaging about 37 points per game. He banked in a couple of threes, but that's what happens when you have no pressure. So I'm really excited for those three guys, especially as they catch fire the second half. Number four.
Number four.
All right, let's talk about the dark horses. There are a lot of teams that have made cases to be a dark horse. In the West, you've got the Utah Jazz, number one team, you know, in the West overall, limited amount of losses. And then you've got the Phoenix Suns as well, who have crept into number two in the West. And then in the East, this is going to make a lot of people very happy. I'm shouting out the New York Knicks.
No!
The New York Knicks, dark horse, not just for making the playoffs. I think that's a win in itself. And if they're able to keep that consistency and keep that standing, along with, by the way, y'all, the Charlotte Hornets are in position to make the playoffs if the playoffs started today. So look out for those dark horse teams, more on the high end of the spectrum with the West, with the Utah Jazz and Phoenix Suns. On the low end spectrum, it's the New York Knicks and the Charlotte Hornets.
I want to say I just appreciate that the dark horse in the West, and understandably because of who they are the current 1 and 2 ranked teams in the Western Conference. And Shanae, it actually makes sense.
Thank you, and that's all I do here. Number three. Again, Shanae Angola Jr. here. Shanae Ogumike, Mike Golick Jr. I'm giving you guys the things you need to look for the second half of the season. Number one overall, but not, you know, just for fun, I put it at three, health. Anthony Davis, his health will dictate whether the Lakers repeat. And very similarly, in the East, Kevin Durant's health. I've always said he's the icing on the cake. James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and now Blake Griffin tag teaming with Kevin Durant as the icing on the cake. He made a very great Warriors team untouchable. If he comes back, I mean, they're obviously the favorites. Our favorite number.
Number two.
Yeah,
there
buddy.
We go. Our favorite number. Watch out for the Brooklyn Nets overall. They've been the big story just because they accomplished the blockbuster trade in the first half of the season. How will it pay off in the second half of the season? The Nets, their effective field goal percentage of 58.8% is the highest in the NBA in history. Plus, they added in the perfect small ball five in Blake Griffin. We'll see how he assimilates, as people saw him TMZ style having coffee with Steve Nash, which I thought was like, oh my gosh, we are that good as a society. The Brooklyn Nets core four. I mean, they're the favorites when they all are healthy and touching the floor this second half of the season. Well, I get big LeBron James, Cleveland Cavaliers 2016 energy, though. Like, the Lakers can do it if they're healthy. It'll take a lot to take down that talent, which leads me to number one.
Number one.
The number one storyline to watch this season, the second half, y'all, is the MVP race, baby. Because a lot of people, we started off the season, and about 2 weeks ago, LeBron James was leading the race. The first time since 2013, he really has that potential to win the award. That's the last time he won it, in 2013. Now, another guy, another big, has entered the chat. Joel Embiid, baby. The last time a true center won MVP was in 2000 with Shaq. So I think he has a lot of the statistics and number on his side. This guy is giving you, what, a 30-point double-double with 11 rebounds. The MVP race will be super fun, because if the Lakers turn things around, they lost 6 of their last 8. If Joel Embiid is still, you know, consistent, it'll be neck and neck, and it'll start becoming like a political thing. Like, well, we won't be able to give LeBron an award anymore. Or it'll be like, well, Joel Embiid finally delivered. So it's going to be really fun to see the second half of the season, who will win out. Will LeBron James put the team on his back, though, or Joel Embiid just continue to do exactly what he's done, especially but this version in the East?
I'm going to be offended on Mina Kimes' behalf and all of the people aboard the train, chugga 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 chugga, that James Harden's name was not mentioned in that conversation.
I said as he was a part of the core four and the number two storyline.
Yeah, but I mean, in the MVP conversation, I feel like that number one he kind of deserved. Although, as you pointed out, according to the folks at Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill, Joel Embiid now the odds on favorite at plus 200 to win the MVP. LeBron James at plus 225.
Who's after that? Do we have it?
After that is Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic at 350. Mavericks guard Luka Doncic at plus 1300. And Steph Curry at plus 1400 here.
Wow, no James.
You know what all that tells me is, Chanae?
Put your money in now.
There is easy money out there if you are looking for James Harden MVP odds here. Those are the odds and the things you need to check out going into the second half of the season. At Chanae and at Mike Golick Jr. If you got beef with any of those, and if you, like me, want to see James Harden's name tossed around that MVP discussion more. But coming up next, what's the name we're going to be saying next has reset the quarterback market after Dak Prescott? We've got three entries to the party and why the unlikely source may be the correct answer. We'll get to that after this word from Omaha Steaks. Now, guys, last week I told you about the deliciousness of Omaha Steaks, and they're excellent, and I mean excellent, Butcher's bestseller grill pack here. It has kept my meat-eating carnivore family fed and fed well. My brother-in-law eats nothing else. He is a true carnivore. He does not eat vegetables, anything else. It is strictly meat. And so, needless to say, I have become his best friend because I've got the meat here, and it's from Omaha Steaks. If you need a reminder of just what I'm talking about, 4 filet mignons, 4 burgers, 4 pork chops, desserts, and so much more. And if you still haven't purchased a pack, head to omahasteaks.com today and enter Golic, G-O-L-I-C, in the search bar. You're not only going to get a special price on that, but you're also going to get 4 more chicken breasts and 4 more of those delicious burgers absolutely free. Go to omahasteaks.com, type the keyword Golic in the search tab, the search bar, and order the Butcher's Bestseller Pack today. Don't forget, 4 free chicken breasts, 4 burgers. All you got to do, Type Golic, G-O-L-I-C, in that search tab. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Golic. Who's next after this on Janae and Golic Jr.
Hey,
on ESPN
next?
Radio?
Go, 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 go.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Very excited to check in with one of our favorites, ESPN golf analyst, America's caddy. None other than Michael Collins going to join us here in 10 minutes as we get ready for the Players' Championship. Get to talk a little beef golfer, Bryson DeChambeau. Oh, no, Chiney, why are you nervous? Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwemke, why are you nervous about this?
No, I'm not nervous. You said America's caddy, and I looked up and looked at you, and I just thought America's daddy.
Oh, my God. You know what? At least that's technically directed towards me and not my father, who I had, I don't know how many of my friends calling a zaddy this year. So.
You have God kids, so that's why we dubbed you a zaddy. And so I heard America's caddy, and I was just like, looking at you, smile. I was like, oh, gosh, why is that the first thing that comes to Michael Jr., America's zaddy?
That's the ESPN. Hey, ESPN Plus, Jimmy, baby, call me. I got a series for you. Yeah, America's zaddy on ESPN Plus.
Oh, man, what will that look like?
I don't know. You know what it won't look like, Chiney? It probably won't look like the bag that Dak Prescott secured yesterday for the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys were making moves by signing Dak Prescott to an extension.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
And so now that we've got that on the books, Chiney, because we've celebrated that, we took in and basked in that moment, now we got to start thinking about who's next, because this is what we do in the NFL. We wait to see as the quarterback market keeps getting reset, who's going to get paid next. So, Chiney, I want to focus in on three guys. The 2018 quarterback class, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. When you look at those three players right now, guys all going into that fourth and final year of their rookie deals, they've got the fifth-year option as a possibility still in all of this. But as you look at those three guys, who could get paid first and who should get paid first of that group?
You know what's super ironic when you just pare it down to those three guys from the 2018 class? The guy that should get paid first, I think we talk about his game in a way that it feels like it's a little bit less than just comparatively as a passer. That's the big question mark, unfortunately, because we've seen him turn, you know, win league MVP. I think it's a 30-7 record as a starter. Yeah, with three trips to the playoffs and NFL MVP in 2019. Lamar Jackson should get paid first, and I believe he will. We heard great comments from, you know, their GM, the Ravens GM, saying like, all right, we're going to work on, you know, locking this contract down. And I think it's Lamar who for sure will be paid. But a lot of people talk about his game just because remember, like, the narrative was, when will he win a playoff game? So much pressure on him to grow and evolve, not, you know, really recognizing the lack of weapons and the continuity this year was really difficult. So to me, the answer is Lamar, but a lot of people are high also on Baker Mayfield after, what was it, 2002, since they've ever been in the playoffs, in 1994 or something, since they've ever won. And Josh Allen did a lot of great things this season, you know, inserted himself all the way up into the MVP conversation. But reality-wise, Junior, I'm going with Lamar. He's probably up next.
Yeah, Chiney, I would say Lamar Jackson should be that name in that group. And I know a lot of people are going to go recency bias on Josh Allen, but when you look at their body of work from the first 3 years, Lamar Jackson, when you look at QBR, when you look at touchdown to interception ratio, rushing yards, adjusted completion percentage, of that group, he's the leader in all of those. Baker Mayfield, hell, he's even the leader when it comes to yards per attempt among that group for the 3 years that they've been in the NFL. And we know Lamar Jackson's actually started fewer games than those other two, because when he came in, Joe Flacco was still the starter for a lot of that first season, his rookie season, Chiney. And so he should be the one. But after listening to Eric DeCosta, Baltimore's GM, the other day, make this comparison, I actually feel like this could take a little more time.
If you go to the Bentley dealership or the Range Rover dealership, you know what the cars are going to cost. You're not going to get much of a discount. They all cost about the same. And you go in there and you're going with the idea that you're either going to buy the car or you're not going to buy the car. But in the end, they're all very big contracts for outstanding players. They're quarterback deals. They're marquee players. And you know you're going to pay a lot, but you're going to get a lot in return.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com.
Bentleys, yeah.
Chiney, but they have indicated the way they see him, the value that they see in Lamar Jackson. And this organization's been talking about this for a year. And you know what has to happen before you go into the Bentley dealership? you got to make sure you got all your ducks in a row financially and all the other places in your life, right? You got to make sure things are planned out here because you're about to incur some debt in this spot. And you know what you're getting is worth it. You know what you're paying for is worth it. But it still takes plenty of money to make happen. And in a year now where the salary cap is lower than we expected, about $182.5 million going into this season, I wouldn't see this being the one getting done first. I would imagine that for someone who's going to look to be a market setter the way Lamar is, Baker Mayfield seems like he could be the candidate because that contract could and should not be a market setter based on what we've seen from Baker Mayfield. It's been up and down in a lot of this year. Most people were still hesitant to give him a lot of the credit in Kevin Stefanski's offense. And so I feel like that's going to have to be a little more careful financial planning, but easier to come by because he doesn't have nearly the leverage that Lamar does.
Very true. And I guess I wonder, you know, which of these quarterbacks do you have the most question marks about? Because if you're comparing, you know, Lamar Jackson to a Ferrari, you know, I think recency bias hurts him because 2019 was a tremendous season, MVP and all that type of stuff. But, you know, it's sort of like, oh, you got a great car 2 years ago. Doesn't mean your car is bad now. And it doesn't mean it's not going to be good in the future. So is he the quarterback, ironically, that you think you probably still have question marks about? Largely because his team, too, has to deal with some holes that they're sort of fielding?
No, you know what? I think we want to see Lamar improve and develop even more as a passer. We saw that in college in a passing attack that was much more, we'll call it, diverse than the one that they employed, especially last year in that offense. We know Culley, their passing game coordinator, is now the head coach of the Texans, so they got to go out and develop in that area. But my questions about the unique weapon in Lamar that you've taken there, those don't need answers anymore here. But I think because of the salary cap being a very real factor, I know we try and treat it like it's fantasy land because a lot of times it is, I think that's reason enough for them to sit and wait past this year, all these teams probably, to get out from this other side because that rookie contract is a huge weapon right now.
It really stinks if you're a player that's looking to get paid and it's finally your time, but it will pay off because that TV deal, that TV money is coming in a year. So I think it's a lot of agents, and this is just stuff that I know behind the scenes, plan deals around those TV contracts and the CBA changes. And so maybe he'll just have to be a little more patient.
I think a big part of this too, Chiney, is trust. What we saw with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs deal was trust. People looked at that and said there's part of that that seems more team friendly than you would expect for someone with Patrick Mahomes' level of weight going into this, the leverage that he had. But that's a team and a player that trust each other. And I think the way Baltimore has laid this out and the way the relationship appears to us publicly, that seems to be one where they're trying to make sure player knows the team trusts and believes in him so that they can get some cooperation while they try and navigate this uncertain immediacy in the financial future. But how do we navigate the future coming up in the PGA? We know there's not going to be Tiger Woods out on the course, but is big bad Bryson DeChambeau all of a sudden the guy that the tour has to look out for? We'll ask our ESPN golf analyst next here on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwumike. Back at it today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And a reminder, we're taking you up to 6 o'clock Eastern today, ESPN Radio's coverage of college basketball as we get to all the great conference tournament action begins at 6 o'clock Eastern here today. But before we get to that, we get to talk to our friend, and we're delighted to head to the Goodyear Hotline now to talk to Michael Collins, our ESPN golf analyst and host of America's Caddy on ESPN+. And Michael, I love Grandma's Boy, and so that quote, new high score, is that bad? Did I break the game? Compels me to ask, did Bryson DeChambeau already break the game? Because I'm hearing about a Bryson rule, essentially, going into this weekend in the Players' Championship. What can you explain about me to this?
You know what? I love Grandma's Boy, too, and that's so funny that you use that reference. But here's the funny thing with Bryson DeChambeau. How you going to break the game before you even played it? Right? Like, he just said in a press conference, you know what? 18, kind of hard. I don't necessarily like that tee shot, so I might hit it across the water over towards number 9, which everybody's like, huh? Number 9, which is completely the wrong direction, but it's one of those things where no one thought of except a guy who's as long as Bryson DeChambeau. I don't think he was being serious about it because the angle, even from over there, would have been worse than if he didn't hit a great shot off the tee normally on 18. But the fact that he mentioned it in a press conference, and the very next day the tour was like, nope, we're making that out of bounds. Can't do that. that's not going to be okay. And then the tour was like, we're only doing it for the safety of the fans and the volunteers. Like, yeah, okay. All right. If it was the safety and the fans and all that, how come you didn't do it before Bryson said anything? Like, come on, y'all. Just say it. We don't want Bryson hitting over there, so we made that out of bounds. We're not going to let you do that, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, right? So that's the truth of how it went down and how it came out.
Oh, man, now it's going to be stuck in my head. Na-na-na-na, boo-boo. Michael Collins, ESPN nanny, nanny, golf, golf analyst yeah. here with us. Hunt Schnee and Golden Jr.
Nanny-nanny, boo-boo.
Oh, no,
Birdie's
stop it.
Not going to find you.
But, you know, it's funny because you mentioned, you know, even if he's not serious, I feel like this does a great, you know, job of highlighting how Bryson DeChambeau has been really unique, you know, unconventional, thought outside of the box. Can you talk about how that is also one of his strengths?
Hey, think about this. When was the last time there was must-see TV when it came to golf? Last week on the sixth hole of Arnold Palmer, when everybody figured, hey, yo, downwind, Bryson's going to go for the green on a par five. That's almost 500 yards. He's going to hit it 340 yards in the air over water. Like, everyone ran to the TV to see what was going on. Social media went crazy. Like, it's a beautiful thing. And to be quite honest, Bryson DeChambeau is very polarizing. There are plenty of people that don't like that dude at all. And it goes back to him being slow and the way that they don't like he talks about his sponsors first. Congratulations, Bryson, you just won. And Bryson goes, instead of being like, thanks, it was a tough day, but I'm real happy. Bryson is like, I want to thank Bridgestone and Puma Cobra. And I want to be like, did you drive NASCAR today, man? What you talking about? But, like, knowing Bryson, he's a really good dude and fun to be around and hang out with. Like, there's only one dude on the PGA Tour that doesn't have to drive a courtesy car that gets a Bentley to drive every week, and that's Bryson DeChambeau. So he's doing something right.
Hey, Michael, is that a net good for golf, what he's bringing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if we're being completely honest, the last dude that was polarizing in both directions that moved, not even moved. Look, Tiger's the needle, the stand, and the shipping crate it came in, okay? And what golf didn't have for a long time when Tiger, the first time Tiger went away after getting hurt and having to be out for a long time, we had Jordan Spieth. We had the golden child, which is great, but no one hated Jordan Spieth, right? So it was like, great. The golden child, who's like the essence of vanilla. Like, yeah, man, people can't wait. Jordan's on TV. Be like, so, right? Like, so for people that aren't golf fans, you got to have a villain, right? Like, no matter how you feel about the New England Patriots, Boston Celtics, Lakers, like, you can love them, but you can also hate them at the same time. And golf didn't have really anybody that you could be hating on other than maybe Patrick Reed, but he wasn't winning a whole lot. Now Bryson comes on the scene and puts on 70 pounds and is still talking the same stuff that he's talking, and there are people who are like, man, I like this dude. He's changing golf. He's like built like a power lifter and yet can hit it like a long driver but can putt too. And there are other people like, man, every time he comes on, I just want to watch and root against him. That's exactly what golf needs.
It's incredible. Michael Collins with us, our ESPN golf analyst, host of America's Caddy on ESPN Plus. We only got about 30 seconds here, Michael, but I am curious, heading into the Players' Championship, we've talked so much about Bryson. Who's your pick to win this?
It ain't Bryson. It's Colin Morikawa. Colin Morikawa, T7, T7, T43, win, and then took last week off. So Colin Morikawa's coming off a win, and he's well-rested because he didn't have to play Arnold Palmer last week. So I love his game around this place. I think it fits here perfectly. And guess what? They put America's Caddy on ESPN2 tonight at 7 o'clock.
Ooh, let's go.
Ooh,
what? In the building.
Man, look at God. 7 o'clock tonight, ESPN2, Michael Collins, America's Caddy. Make sure you check it out. Michael, we got to run, but you're the best, man. We'll talk to
Thanks,
you soon,
Michael.
All right?
Anytime. Y'all have a great show. Love chatting with y'all.
The best in the business. Again, America's Caddy, 7 Eastern on ESPN2. Making it happen in a big way as we head into the Players' Championship. Colin Morikawa, only 24 years old. Big one to keep an eye on as this keeps moving in a positive direction. Because like he said, heroes and villains. At the end of the day, that's what we want in sports. If you've got a villain in Bryson, maybe Colin Morikawa can be a little hero for you. We will see.
Agreed. We will see. If you were a golfer, would it be who would the comp be? I don't know.
Mine would probably be Bryson, just because he's the only one in the size bracket of anyone that played any of the outside sports. Coming up next, though, we'll look at how the cap might influence everything we see coming up this NFL season. Next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.